God, we give you thanks on this beautiful morning. It's just an amazing feeling to know that the sanctuary will be a comfortable place to sit in, the temperature will be just right. And so God, we ask for your Holy Spirit to lead us during this time as we walk with you, as we listen to your word. We ask of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Water from the rock. Water from this big piece of rock. We've heard this story many times through Sunday school. I've kind of imagined what it would have been like. After all, my name is Moses. I thought one of these days there must be a time when I'll have to explain this during children's time. So I went on Google and I searched a few images, and the first image that I saw was the next slide, moving forward. It's a picture. It's a picture depicting Moses striking the rock. And there's water, and as you can see, there's people, and they're all looking very thirsty. You can see some in green, you can see in red. And I'm not quite the interpreter that Hugh is, so I'm just going to go along. And we'll look at the next picture. The way I've envisioned it was something more like this. There's a host of people, they're all waiting. Moses has hit the rock and water's gushing out, and people are there with their wineskins to fill their wineskins with water. It's a water party. It's a party of water. You may know this. I grew up in Thailand, and Thailand has the best water parties. Next slide, please. This is Thailand in April. In April, there's a festival of water in Thailand called Songkran, and it happens every year. It's the Thai New Year. April, for those of you who are planning for a jaunt down to Southeast Asia, the summer doesn't start in July. The summer, the peak time of the summer is actually April. So during April, they have this huge party, and it's almost okay to just splash water at anyone that you see. It's a kind of blessing. Next slide. People, they just get on the street and they splash people with water. Next slide. In fact, they even splash water at the police officer, and he joins in the fun. I wonder if this was the type of party that the Israelites had when water was just gushing out of this rock. The Bible doesn't say when it stopped. So it's just like an overflow of water. In fact, you can use your imagination into how they celebrated with the water. I mean, after they had filled their wineskins with water, how would they have celebrated? And then it got me thinking, in a water party like this, what do you have that is abundant?
Water.
But do you know what the one thing is that you really need in these types of water fights? It's water. In fact, it's clean water. It's drinkable water. Because all the water that you see around you is polluted. Who knows how many buckets those water would have gone into? Water. Water is so important to us. And it's so important to the Israelites. For these people, their threat is water. Getting splashed with water and having enough water to drink. And for the Israelites' people, that threat was a serious threat. The threat of their thirst. The threat of having enough water was real. And so, when they were thirsty, before there was this endless supply of water, I think the question that they probably asked amongst themselves is, is the Lord among us or not? Is God with us or not? The threat of their survival living in the slavery conditions in Egypt, they asked themselves, is the Lord with us? Is the Lord among us or not? The threat of being captured and probably put to death by the Egyptian army as they're standing looking at the Red Sea. Is the Lord among us or not? threat as they're walking through the bed of the Red Sea. The threat that maybe this wall of water will come tumbling down. That's a real threat. Is the Lord among us or not? When they come, and they come and find the water, and they taste it, and the water is bitter. It is so bitter. They are thirsty. They're walking in the desert, but the only water that they can find is undrinkable water. Is the Lord among us or not? And then they're walking around the desert and they realize they have no food and they're thirsty. They're calling out to Moses, "We're thirsty. Where is God? Is God among us or not?" They ask and they ask and they quarrel. But if we think about it, at each time, they were provided with God's presence. They were provided escape from Egypt. The Red Sea that they were looking into was divided in two. The walls, as you probably remember if you've seen The Prince of Egypt, the walls stayed put. The whale couldn't get through. When Moses put a piece of wood into that bitter water, that water became drinkable. God, when the Israelites were hungry, provided with manna and with quails. It almost seems to me that in the grand scheme of things, the foretaste is always better. It's the one that they remember. They remember a foretaste of God when they leave Egypt, but as soon as they leave Egypt, they forget. They get a foretaste of what that eternal promise that God had made with them is when they experience manna, but then they quickly forget. When they cross the Red Sea, the foretaste is just so amazing, isn't it? But they quickly forget. The escape from Egypt tastes better. Crossing the Red Sea tastes better. Drinking water tastes better. And all the promises and the covenant that God had made with them. But that's who we are. We are quick to forget. We are content with the foretaste. It is a delicious foretaste. And no better way to experience that than introducing my favorite place to do groceries. Some of you ask me, "Moses, where'd you get the food from the picnic?" Or "Where'd you get the food from blah, blah, blah?" And I say, you have to go to that big warehouse store on the Queensway. Next slide. And the next slide. This place. I promised Gloria that I would never name this place in the sermon again, so I will not name this place, but for those of you who've been, it's the big store that starts with a C, ends with an O. Now, if you go in the evening, or if you go during lunchtime, during the weekend, you will see these wonderful ladies and gentlemen who pass out samples. Here it seems like they're passing out Ritz crackers, but this is kind of the bottom end of what they give out. Sometimes they give you pieces of steak. Sometimes they give you nice sandwiches. Sometimes pizza. And the thing is, it tastes so good. It tastes so good. You have one, and you sit there, and of course the person asks, "How is it?" I say, "Oh, it's lovely." And the person will say, "Have as much as you want." And so you need another one. And I give Gloria one. And I give Justin one. And if I see you at that store, I'll say, "Please have one." And what you end up happening is it tastes so good that you take it from the aisle and you put it in your cart and you buy it. And you bring it home. And you put it in the oven or you open it, you cook it. And the thing is, it just doesn't taste as good. You put it in the freezer, and if you open our freezer, you'll see things that have been in there for weeks, sometimes months, sometimes over a year. You see, we are so quick to forget. Foretaste tastes better. That first taste tastes better. I'm going to give you another example. Hugh had mentioned that today is the first sermon that I'll be preaching as a reverend. And I first want to thank all of you for keeping me in your prayers and supporting me and rooting for me, sending me emails and saying, Moses, you're going to do fine. And I sat through this 3.5-hour exam, and they are drilling me, they're questioning me about theology, things I should know, but things I've forgotten. But anyways, I managed to squeeze my way through it, and they gave me a verdict, unanimous pass. They said, it doesn't happen very often, very good job. And then they asked me to kneel, and they pray, and they lay their hands on me, and it's a very Spirit-filled moment. And then afterwards, they give me this little piece of paper and saying, now you're official. The foretaste of being ordained is so much better than simply a piece of paper. The buildup that goes towards getting your ecclesial credential just tastes so much better. See, that's the weird thing. In life, the foretaste is so much better. And if we are to just finish there, that would really suck, wouldn't it? When we think about what God had promised us, the love of God that God has promised us, if we choose to stop as simply being content with foretaste, that's what the Israelites were doing. They had received foretaste after foretaste after foretaste, a delicious foretaste of God's love, of God's covenant with them. But that's all they remember. The small foretaste. For some, they want to remain in that escaping Egypt. They want to remain at simply crossing the Red Sea. They simply want to remain at drinking water from that stone. When God's love and when God's covenant is so much greater than what we experience right here, we are content with what we have. If we simply say, wow, I'm content, it's a delicious foretaste. And that's it. Brothers and sisters, I want to stand here and I want to share with you that foretastes are great. They are, in fact, very delicious. But foretaste doesn't just stop at being foretaste, but it's a reminder. It's a reminder of greater things that are to come. It's why we continue in the tradition of Lord's Supper. It's a foretaste. It's a foretaste of that beautiful heavenly banquet that is to come. Baptism. Every time there is a baptism, it's a foretaste for all of us to taste and see how wonderful it is when God's love comes to a little child. When we gather here on Sunday morning, it's a foretaste of what God's kingdom will be like. Today we joined with many churches around the world as we celebrated communion. If we simply stopped and saying, wow, that was pretty good bread, that was pretty good juice, that's good too. Because that's God's love poured out for us. But this is of that great heavenly banquet. May we continue to look at God. May we continue to fix our eyes on the eternal prize that God has for us. Trust me, that foretaste is good too. But that's only a sign. I pray that we as a congregation, that we as a community can continue to set our eyes on God's eternal love that He grants to all of us. Let us pray. God, foretastes are good. They're so amazing. They remind us. They point to things. But God, we see here in Exodus where the Israelites are just content. They're just happy with what they experience, with the foretaste that we experience, forgetting that that is simply a foretaste. That is simply a sign. And that is not the end of all things. God, allow us, help us, move us to fix our eyes on you, knowing that your eternal prize, the great banquet, is ready. God, allow us to have hearts of anticipation as we look forward to that great banquet. We ask of all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.